this master plan, this update for Bronson Park has been proposed. I understand that was the work of a panel that's been meeting for a few months. Is that correct?
Yeah, it was a steering committee that started meeting last October, and we concluded our meetings mid-May, and now we're working with our architect, O'Boyle Cowell Blaylock and Associates. They're coming up with a draft master plan for review, and then once we finalize that, we'll have a plan to move forward.
All right, so there's a draft master plan now for the park. Why update the park? It's been there for a long time. It's green. People are there. Why now?
It was really an opportunity to look at the park and how it's being utilized while also keeping in mind its rich history, the landscape over the past 50, 60, 70 years, what's been added to the park, what's been removed from the park. And really it was an opportunity, how can we make the park look better and then, be more functional for what the community wants to use that park for.
What's been removed from the park?
Oh, over the years, there's been, at one point there was a big round fountain in the middle prior to, the Ianelli Fountain being commissioned. Not a lot's been removed. There were some different bench style changes and things like that. So not a lot's been removed per se, but, some of the trees that came down during the big tornado that went through Kalamazoo many years ago. So it was really just looking at the park and everything that was, kind of there and its long history and what do we want it to be moving forward.
Were there particular problems that the district was particularly eager to solve?
Not really. I mean, preserving Ianelli Fountain while also and really preserving everything that's, intact currently. Making the park more functional. Our Parks and Recreation Department has several events in the park. We weren't really looking at it, to make it a better venue, but how can we make it better just in general for the community? One of the things that we decided as a steering committee was to really look at the historical markers. And this was really some of the smaller pieces that are in that park, not the larger memorials, if you will, but really, if you ever walk around Bronson Park, they're really kind of scattered and kind of haphazard. There's no real rhyme or reason as to why some of those were placed where they are. So we really focused on, can we put those in a dedicated area so that they're more visible and people can go see them, and they'll be all concentrated more in a couple areas.
I want to come back to the reorganizing of the monuments, but it's some trouble to go to consult with people and come up with a plan. And so I'm wondering, why now? Where was the urgency to do that at this particular point?
Well, there was already a movement underfoot to preserve and restore Ianelli Fountain, and there's going to be a fundraising aspect to that. And so, we had an opportunity with one of our local, a local donor stepped up and said, we'd like you to do a master plan and we're willing to foot the bill for it. And of course, that certainly helps. But so we had the opportunity to really, just take a look at the park and what do people want moving forward. It's a tremendous location right in downtown. It's a beautiful park. And, it was a good opportunity for us having some funding in hand to do a master plan. And ideally, you want to look at your parks probably every 7 to 10 years. And there hadn't been a master plan done for Bronson Park for a long, long time. So it was past due as far as, looking at it from a master planning standpoint.
Could you summarize in a nutshell what's being considered? It's a variety of things, not all of them immediately connected to each other, except for all being the same park.
Sure. Probably the biggest thing we talked about, relocating some of the monuments. The other significant change is moving the Newman sculpture, the children, out of the west reflecting pool into an area where they can kind of be, protected a little more with some landscape, which I think is a fantastic idea. They get climbed on a lot, so I think that's a good thing. really looking at the landscape beds and kind of organizing them better throughout the park so they're more visible to people that enter the park from various locations. Some shade for seating in front of the rotary stage. And that was kind of a big piece to this. And then obviously looking at the tree, the holiday tree, is actually not in good condition. So that most likely will, when it's ready to come down, we will have a new location for the holiday tree. You know, the other idea that came up was, you know, more seating for in front of and adjacent to the stage, which right now is really occupied by the west reflecting pool. So could you raise the bottom of that pool and create some seating for people? They could sit, you could drain the pool, you'd have anywhere from 10 to 15 inches of water, drain it, and then you'd have a surface that would allow people to sit where the west reflecting pool is, so you'd have a good nice seating for the rotary stage. Some of the other changes were just general improvements to the park with some lighting, benches, some informational kiosks, and those kinds of things.
When you were talking about raising the beds in the reflecting pool, I was picturing, I'm sure inaccurately, you know, people sitting in the water on benches. And is it more that you were thinking of doing away with the reflecting pool and replacing it with seating?
No, the reflecting pool would stay, and it will get, both the fountain and that reflecting pool will get brand new water filtration, new controls and pump systems in that. And then what we'd be able to do is, so you would raise the bottom of the pool. So instead of 22 inches of water, you might have 10 to 12 inches of water or 15 inches of water, whatever makes the most sense. And so then you would just drain that pool. And like I said, it would have a surface where people could sit chairs, where you'd really be sitting inside the reflecting pool without water in it. So, and you can't be so low that everybody in front of you, you can't see the stage. So that's the thought behind raising the level of the pool.
Okay, so the whole pool, so the ground level itself would come up, or the water level would go down?
No, you would completely drain the pool. It would not have water in it, and then we would just refill it.
Okay, when you weren't doing events, you would refill it?
Correct. Yep.
Okay, so sometimes it would have water and sometimes it wouldn't, but in any case, you wouldn't be floating around in there during the events.
Yeah, most of the time it would have water in it. You would just drain it for, you know, a 3 or 4 hour event, whatever the case may be. And then you would just, you'd be able to, with the new system for the filtration and the water, you'd literally hit a button. Ideally, you'd hit it from your smartphone and it would just fill the pool back up.
You mentioned that children and dogs like to play in the water there in both the fountains, I suppose, and that from the park district's view, this is less than ideal. Is that because of safety concerns?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly a safety issue. We certainly don't want somebody to slip and fall, or, you know, worst case scenario would be somebody would fall, bump their head face down into the water and drown. I mean, I think that's probably not a likely scenario, but I mean, you can drown in 6 inches of water. So obviously having kids play in and around those pools, there's a danger factor. And anytime we can, we try to reduce our risk if at all possible. So, and we do have signs posted that say, you know, no swimming or wading in the pools. So people don't read signs.
How determined, or should I say, how much of a priority is it to cut back on the wading?
I mean, we don't want people in there. Is it something that we routinely monitor and police? No. I mean, we have the signs, and we would hope that people would, you know, self-monitor and not allow their kids in the pools, but that's just not realistic.
Does lowering the water level in the reflecting pool make it a less attractive place to wade? Is that, no?
No, not really. I mean, water is water. And, you know, on a hot, sunny day, you know where kids are going to be. They're going to be in the sprinkler. They're going to be at the splash park. They're going to go to the pool, wherever. So it's kind of a uphill battle. And We deal with it as we see it. That's the best we can do, really.
It sounds like, short of posting a police officer there 24/7 or getting rid of the fountains, you're probably not going to solve the waiting issue.
You can't eliminate it. It is what it is.
Let's see. You talked about the monuments in the park. You said they're a bit randomly distributed right now, but I was trying to picture how you would organize them and wasn't immediately coming up with a picture of that. So how do you take the scattered monuments and make them more logically arranged?
Yeah, the master plan as it is right now has a couple kind of semicircular paths at the east and west end. And the smaller, and by smaller I mean like 2 foot by 2 foot, you know, smaller pieces that are kind of randomly scattered would be placed along those semicircular paths on the east and west ends of the park, and really, you know, thoughtfully placed, you know, around those paths. So then you can walk those paths and see the different variety of, you know, small plaqued memorials and things like that.
So the idea is that you get more visibility for those monuments?
Well, they're just more, they're thoughtfully placed versus just randomly scattered throughout the park. I mean, if you ever get the chance and walk through the park, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. They're just placed, you know, some are near the concrete, you know, some are near trees, some are off on their own. There wasn't any real thought that went into, you know, placing them, and it certainly wasn't any kind of organized placement. And that's what one of the things that came out of the steering committee.
The reason I ask is because I was telling a friend about this plan to reorganize the monuments, and they said, "Well, aren't monuments always just kind of wherever in the park? Like, what do you mean organize them?" You know, so.
Yeah, I mean, the steering committee felt that it is almost, in this case, it's almost a disservice. Because if you want to see them, unless you very, you know, without knowing it, you got to go throughout that entire park. And the thought was, if they were placed in a couple areas, if you wanted to see them all, you wouldn't have to go on kind of a mission to find them. They would all be really in a couple concentrated areas.
That makes sense. What's in store for the Fountain of the Pioneers?
That fountain will be restored. Certainly that's contingent on fundraising efforts, but there's a very dedicated group of individuals, some folks that are involved with the Historic Preservation Commission. And, I'm confident that they're going to raise the dollars necessary to fund, you know, park improvements, which includes Ianelli Fountain.
So the plan is indeed to restore the fountain, and then the part that lies ahead, though, is raising the money to do that.
Yeah, that's always the challenging part. Is it's easy, not easy, but easier to come up with the plan itself, and then you have to find the dollars to actually fund the improvements. So.
And do I understand correctly that there are some plans, maybe firmer or not as firm, for adding some historical context to the fountain, since it's been a bit controversial?
Yeah, there's a subcommittee that's done a lot of work to provide, you know, education regarding the fountain itself, the history of the tribe that was located on that site for many, many years, a long, long time ago. So yeah, there's definitely a group working very hard to make sure the story is told, and it's, you know, accurate portrayal of events that happened, the thought process behind Mr. Ianelli and his, you know, his art. And, you know, I think that's very helpful, because I think you got to lay out the facts so people know exactly, you know, what this person was thinking. And, you know, one thing about art is it creates emotion and people respond to it differently. So at one point, I think there was some controversy surrounding it, and I think the educational component will really be helpful in that matter.
I said it had generated some controversy, but that doesn't explain it very much if you're not familiar with it. Maybe you could explain what the issue is. And do you have an idea of what Ianelli was thinking?
I really don't. I'm not, you know, an art historian. I'm just, I'm a Parks and Rec director, which may sound bad, but I know a little bit, and I know that several years ago, you know, there was a group of folks who really felt like the Fountain of the Pioneers was very offensive. And I think, you know, there was a committee established to address that. And, you know, I think that the frustration and anger and what people thought about the fountain really kind of subsided. And then, you know, I think with, you know, David Brose, who was on our steering committee, he's worked very hard with a number of different people to really tell the story, you know, make sure people understood why Ian Ellie created the Fountain of the Pioneers and what his thought process was. So again, I think it's that providing that factual information and telling the story of, you know, Bronson Park and the history of the park and why it's, you know, why it's there and what happened as a result of, you know, the history from many, many years ago. I think it'll be very helpful for people.
That makes sense. Just for myself, when I'm describing this, I've worried sometimes about getting this wrong because I'm not sure if what's being depicted is in dispute or not. You know, I think the offense comes from, it looks like you've got a Native American kneeling before a non-Native American. Do I have that right, or am I, you know?
I don't know if you have it right or not. I mean, my what I see versus, and what I've been told is to show the movement of the settlers west, and you know there's an Indian that's moving west as well. So I personally don't find it offensive, but that's just me. I mean, I know there were people that didn't think it was right, and there were people that wanted it torn down. So, but I mean, I think that's, you know, just going back to that, you know, art creates emotion and people react to it differently. You have to understand what Mr. Ianelli was thinking. And I think David Brose and others are going to help tell that story.
Sounds good. Of these various proposals for Bronson Park, everything from adding some shade over on the west end for event goers to reorganizing the monuments, is there a part of this that would be the most expensive, the most ambitious, or the toughest to achieve?
Well, the most expensive will be the restoration of the fountain and creating new filtration, new piping and you know, UV to, you know, get rid of all the bad stuff in the water. But you know, I think the total project will probably come in around $2.5 million, but probably about $1.3 million of that would end up being the restoration of the fountain. So that's the bigger chunk of it.
The rest of it doesn't sound terribly expensive, I have to say. So, I mean, not that it doesn't add up, but, you know.
It's $1.2 million. I mean, that's more money than I have.
Well, that's true. It is a fair amount, but it's not like you're talking about, I don't know, putting in a swimming pool or something like that.
Yeah, we're not talking, you know, $20 million, so definitely a little more palatable.
So you mentioned that the fountain is its own fundraising project. What about that other part of it?
Well, it's actually that the fundraising will be for park improvements, and that'll include restoration of Ianelli. So the group working to restore the fountain agreed that you need to fundraise for park improvements. Then if people want to earmark dollars for Ianelli Fountain, they can certainly do that.
All right. So pretty much all of the fundraising still lies ahead.
Yeah. There's been some dollars raised with respect to the Ianelli Fountain. But for the most part, you still have probably the better part of $2.1 million to go after, at least.
All right, so you've got the draft plan for Bronson Park. What's the next step?
The next step would be to just kind of tweak that, review it, tweak it, make the changes we feel that are necessary, work with our architect, and then probably have that plan go before City Commission for their blessing.
All right, so you work on the plan a little bit more, you go to the City Commission, and then after that, you raise the money.
Yeah, well, and fundraising, as soon as the plan is complete, you know, that'll begin right away.
Do you have a timeline in mind?
I wish I did. Probably within the next 2 months, but it could be 3 months. It just really depends.
And that would be for getting the plan approved.
Yeah, get the plan approved, and then, you know, everything from that point can begin as far as fundraising.
All right. And do you have a hope that this will commence in the next year, 2 years, 3 years?
I would love to think that it could be renovations, improvements could be completed, you know, within 3 years.
Completed in 3 years?
I think so. I'm really optimistic, though, most of the time.
Sean Fletcher, is there anything you'd like to add?
No, I think we covered everything. I like getting the chance to talk about it. It's a great park. You know, downtown parks and urban recreation is really, you know, it's a big trend right now. And so for us to have the opportunity to improve, you know, Bronson Park is important.
All right. Well, Sean Fletcher, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.